Hello, and welcome to Silver Threads, a weekly program of information on how you can make your senior year shine. I'm Kathy Van Skoyt. Previously, I read from the Consumer Reports article, Too Many Meds? After checking with my friend Louise Craig, creator of ReachOut's Sound Body, to determine that she wasn't going to be using the remaining portion of the article, I'm going to share it with you now. Some topics covered in this segment include doing a complete drug checkup, ways to take more control of your drugs, lifestyle changes, and some eye-opening statistics, starting with how to take more control of your meds. It stands to reason that the more drugs you take, the greater your risk of skipping a dose, taking the wrong pill at the wrong time, or making another mistake. That's why it's essential to get organized, says Michael Steinman, MD, a professor of geriatrics at the University of California, San Francisco. That includes using such things as a daily pill organizer as well as taking these steps. First, keep a thorough log. Include all of your pills, prescription, and over-the-counter drugs, plus supplements. Note their brand and generic names, your dosage and schedule, the reasons you take them, the name of the prescribing physician, and special advice, such as whether you should take them with food or drink. Describe the shape and color of the meds and write down your pharmacy's phone number, any allergies you may have, and emergency contact information. For help, you can download one of these printable templates, the Food and Drug Administration's My Medicine Record, a personal medicine form from the Institute for Safe Medication Practices, or My Medicine List from the American Society of Health System Pharmacists. Also, make copies. Store one in your wallet or purse, post another in your home, and give extras to a friend, family member, or caregiver. Review the log regularly with your doctors to make sure it's up to date and to double-check for medication you might be able to eliminate. And third, consider all pill tracking apps. We looked at 11 popular ones. Most were difficult to use or didn't do enough to protect your data privacy. But we found three freebies we think are worth a try: CareZone, MediSafe, and Round Health. All allow you to add pills by name and dose and set reminders for when to take them. And they alert you when it's time to get refills. MediSafe alerts caregivers if you miss a med. Both CareZone and MediSafe also let you store doctor and pharmacy contact info. MediSafe can check for drug interactions. All of the apps we think are worth considering are HIPAA compliant. That means that under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, your health information is protected by encryption and regular security updates. Still, read all privacy policies. CareZone and MediSafe are iOS, iPhone and iPad, and Android compatible. Round Health is only iOS compatible. And now give your drugs a checkup. Drug safety experts recommend throwing all of your pill bottles into a bag at least once a year and take them to your doctor or pharmacist for a thorough drug checkup. The Brown Bag Review provides a chance to check for duplicate meds, excessive doses, and dangerous interactions, and for you to ask questions. For insight on how easy it is to talk with pharmacists about your drugs and see how well they caught potentially dangerous interactions, we sent 10 secret shoppers to 45 pharmacies across the U.S. and had them ask about a list of drugs that they were supposedly taking. They included three prescription drugs, the blood pressure medication hydrochlorothiazide, the blood thinner Coumadin, and the sleeping pill Ambien, with two OTC drugs, baby aspirin and Aleve PM, a combination pain pill and sleep aid. Shoppers reported that in most cases, 84%, pharmacists appropriately warned them about the risk of bleeding when taking Coumadin, Aleve PM, and aspirin together. flagged less often was the potential for next-day drowsiness when combining Ambien and Aleve PM, or nighttime dizziness from blood pressure medicine and Ambien and Aleve PM. Our shoppers also recorded observations about their experiences, noting that overall the pharmacists were helpful. Here are some tips from them, as well as some of the pharmacists at leading drugstore chains. Make sure you talk with the pharmacist. In half of their visits, shoppers first met a clerk or pharmacy technician at the counter, not a pharmacist. Schedule an appointment. The pharmacist did a pretty good job of spot-checking problems when our shoppers just showed up at the counter. But experts say that for a full brown bag review, you're better off reserving time with your pharmacist or doctor. Ask about insurance. None of our shoppers had to pay for their walk-in visits, and CVS and Target told us they also do free comprehensive reviews. Other pharmacies and your doctor may charge for full reviews, but most often it's only your regular insurance copay. Medicare allows free yearly reviews with a doctor, and for many Medicare Part D patients taking multiple meds, a pharmacist too. Be thorough. Cover the basics for each medication or supplement, such as what it's for, how long you should take it, what it costs, and any side effects and potential interactions. Also, ask about non-drug options that might be safer and whether you can switch to a lower dose. Do you need a brown bag review? Here are six questions to answer. How many doctors prescribe your meds? A drug review is a good idea, even if you have just one physician. But the more you see, the greater the risk of miscommunication and duplicate drugs. So designate one, usually your primary care doctor, to oversee all of your meds. Two, do you also regularly take an over-the-counter drug or dietary supplement? They can pose risks even though they don't require a prescription. So make sure you tell your doctor about them, including pills, liquids, drops, and ointments. Third, do you take more than one drug to treat the same health problem, such as two drugs to treat depression? That's sometimes necessary to control your condition, but it can also be a red flag that you're taking a drug you might not need. Four, do you need a drug to control side effects of another? For example, do you take a laxative to ease constipation caused by an opioid? That, too, can be okay if it makes it possible for you to take a drug that you require. But check to see whether you can ease side effects by lowering the dose, switching to another drug, or trying lifestyle changes instead. And have you been taking your medication for more than 3 months? Many conditions, such as diabetes and heart disease, can require drugs for lifetime. But for some problems, people stay on drugs longer than necessary. Do you struggle to pay for your meds? Our previous surveys have found that doctors often don't consider the cost of drugs they prescribe. Don't hesitate to ask about less expensive but equally effective alternatives, including generic versions. And now, for the National Check Your Meds Day, Consumer Reports, working with the Department of Health and Human Services, has proclaimed October 21st, 2017, National Check Your Meds Day. A number of pharmacies, Albertsons, Costco, CVS, Sam's Club, Target, Walmart, and many other independents, have agreed to support the effort. Some may even have extra staff on hand to help you review your meds. Ask your local pharmacy if it is participating. Good to know, asking whether there are meds you can stop taking could result in at least one less prescription, according to Consumer Reports' recent nationally representative survey. And now, here are 12 times to try lifestyle changes before drugs. Americans often rush or get rushed into taking drugs too quickly. Sometimes doctors prescribe them for problems like back pain, heartburn, and insomnia, for example, without first giving lifestyle changes a chance. Or they diagnose a pre-disease stage of a condition. Think mild bone loss or slightly elevated blood pressure or blood sugar levels, and immediately start treating people with drugs when simple steps are often enough Here are 12 such situations. First, ADHD. The drugs given, antipsychotics such as Abilify and Seroquel. Risks, side effects include constipation, difficulty breathing or swallowing, dizziness, drowsiness, fast or irregular heartbeat, fever, seizures, and weight gain. Non-drug options include behavioral therapy, plus educational interventions and exercise. In some cases, a stimulant such as Adderall or Ritalin may also be necessary, but first consult with a specialist. When to consider a drug, antipsychotics should be used for ADHD only if other psychiatric conditions are diagnosed, such as bipolar disorder. 2. Back and joint pain. The drugs given often? Non-steroidal anti-inflammatories such as Advil, Aleve, and Celebrex. Opioids such as OxyContin and Percocet. The risks? High doses or long-term use of Advil and related drugs can cause bleeding in the intestines, kidney failure, heart attack, ulcers, and stroke. Opioids can trigger drowsiness, nausea, vomiting, constipation, addiction, and overdose. Non-drug options? Try yoga, swimming, gentle stretches, tai chi, massage, physical therapy, acupuncture, or heat. But when to consider a drug? Anti-inflammatories are okay for short-term flare-ups, though even then stick with a low dose and don't take them for longer than 10 days without talking with your doctor. Opioids should be a last resort and prescribed at the lowest effective dose for the shortest possible time. Dementia, the drugs, antipsychotics such as Abilify and Seroquel, the risks generally the same as those listed for ADHD, as well as stroke and death. Non-drug options. Establish a regular routine. Do calming activities and have frequent social contact. It's also a good idea to rule out underlying conditions that are sometimes leading to disturbed behavior, such as constipation, infection, or hearing or vision problems. When to consider a drug? If the patient suffers from delusions, hallucinations, or other serious mental illness, or presents a danger to himself or others. Mild depression. Antidepressants such as Celexa, Cymbalta, Lexapro, and Prozac. The risks? Many side effects, including diarrhea, drowsiness, headaches, agitation, sexual dysfunction, and suicidal thoughts. Non-drug options? Exercise, meditation, and various forms of talk therapy. But when to consider a drug? If therapy alone isn't enough or depression is severe, reassess after 6 weeks and consider switching drugs if you aren't getting better. 5, so common, heartburn. Drugs, proton pump inhibitors or PPIs such as Nexium, Prevacid, and Prilosec. The risks, reduced stomach acid, which impairs the body's ability to absorb certain nutrients and medication, and increases the risk of gastrointestinal and other infections. Long-term use may increase the risk of fractures, dementia, heart attack, and kidney disease. Non-drug options. Eat smaller meals. Don't lie down soon after eating. Lose excess weight and avoid trigger foods, including acidic or greasy meals. For occasional heartburn, try OTC products such as Maalox, Pepcid AC, Tums, or Zantac 75. But when to consider a drug? If heartburn occurs twice weekly or for more than 4 weeks or longer and your doctor diagnoses gastroesophageal reflux disease, which occurs when stomach acid backs up into the esophagus and damages it, in that case, consider a PPI for a few months while your esophagus heals. 6. Insomnia. The drugs include sleeping pills such as Ambien, Belsomra, and Lunesta. The risks are dizziness, next-day drowsiness, impaired driving, dependence, and worsened sleeplessness when you try to stop. Non-drug options include cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, for insomnia, where a provider teaches you good sleep habits and suggests ways to change your behavior, such as cutting out naps or not using your laptop in bed. when to consider a drug. If you have short-term sleep problems caused by a stressful event, such as a death in the family or a divorce, or if CBT alone doesn't provide enough relief. 7. Low testosterone. The drugs testosterone topicals, such as Androgel, Axiron, patches, Androderm, and injections of Avid. The risks: blood clots in the legs, sleep apnea, and enlarged prostate, and possibly an increased risk of heart attack or stroke. Topical forms can transfer to others, causing the growth of body hair in women, and if pregnant, transfer the hormone to their babies. Non-drug options: treat conditions that can decrease testosterone, such as diabetes or obesity. Also, discuss non-drug ways to boost energy and vitality by exercising, getting enough sleep, and couples therapy with your partner. When to consider the drug. If you have hypogonadism, which is very low testosterone levels caused by a genetic disorder, damage to the testicles from injury, or chemotherapy or another cause. Osteopenia, which is a pre-osteoporosis or bone density low end of normal. The drugs, bisphosphonones, such as Actonel, Boniva, and Fosamax. The risks include diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, heartburn, esophageal irritation, and bone joint or muscle pain. Long-term use may increase the risk of thigh fractures. Non-drug options: consume foods high in calcium and vitamin D, do weight-bearing exercises such as walking or lifting weights, and quit smoking. Plus, take steps to prevent falls by, for example, avoiding sleeping pills and installing grab bars in the bathroom. When to consider a drug? If bone density tests show you have full-blown osteoporosis, even then, consider taking a break after 5 years to reduce the risk of lasting side effects. Overactive bladder, when the sudden or frequent need to urinate occurs. The drugs, anticholinergics such as Detrol and Oxetrol. Risks: constipation, blurred vision, dizziness, confusion, and an increased risk of dementia. Non-drug options include: cut back on caffeine and alcohol and try bladder training, slowly increasing the time between bathroom visits and Kegel exercises, repeatedly tightening and relaxing the muscles that stop urine flow. But when to consider a drug? If several weeks of non-drug strategies don't provide enough relief. Now, prediabetes, blood sugar levels of the high end of normal. The drugs include blood glucose-lowering drugs such as Actose and Glucophage. The risks: dizziness, tiredness, muscle pain, and in rare cases, other symptoms caused by a dangerous buildup of lactic acid and a vitamin B12 deficiency. Non-drug options: exercise, eat a healthy diet rich in non-processed and non-starchy foods, and lose weight. When to consider the drug if you develop full-blown type 2 diabetes. Hypertension, blood pressure at the high end of normal. The drugs used are ACE inhibitors, ARBs, which are calcium channel blockers, and diuretics. The risks: diuretics can cause frequent urination, low potassium levels, and erectile dysfunction. ACE inhibitors and ARBs can cause high potassium levels and reduced kidney function. Calcium channel blockers can cause dizziness, abnormal heartbeat, flushing, headache, swollen gums, and less often breathing problems. The non-drug options include: quit smoking, cut back on sodium and alcohol, and lose excess weight, and, of course, exercise. When to consider the drug if you develop true hypertension. And finally, obesity. The drugs include the weight loss drugs Belviq, Contrave, Quizmia, and Xenical. The risks are constipation, diarrhea, nausea, or vomiting. The drugs also carry rare but dangerous side effects, including leaky heart valves and Belviq and liver damage, and Xenical. The drug options, non-drug options. If you are unable to lose weight on your own by exercising more and eating less, ask your doctor about formal weight loss programs. But when to consider a drug? If lifestyle changes have failed and you are obese or overweight and have heart disease or type 2 diabetes, if you haven't lost at least 5% of your weight after 3 months, stop because it's unlikely to help. And now, when drugs don't mix, taking a cocktail of different drugs increases the risk of an adverse reaction. Sometimes pill interactions magnify a drug's potency. Sometimes they diminish another's effectiveness. And sometimes the combination can result in dangerous side effects. Here are some common and serious interactions. So if you take multiple medications, including over-the-counter ones, and dietary supplements, regularly ask your doctor or pharmacist about potentially dangerous combinations. And starting with warfarin, used to treat and prevent blood clotting, don't mix with antidepressants like Cymbalta and Prozac and pain relievers such as aspirin, ibuprofen or Advil, and naproxen, Aleve, because of the possible risk of bleeding. Next, theophylline. It's used to treat asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and other respiratory diseases. Should not be mixed with cimetidine, which is used to treat stomach ulcers and acid reflux because of the possible occurrence of seizures. Lithium, which is used to treat bipolar disorder, should not be mixed with loop diuretics or ACE inhibitors, both used to treat high blood pressure and heart failure, because of the possibility for tremors, slurred speech, seizures, and heart palpitations. Next, prednisone, which is used to treat skin diseases, rheumatoid arthritis, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, do not mix with certain pain relievers such as Celebrex, Advil, and Aleve because of the potential for bleeding stomach ulcers. And finally, the ACE inhibitors, lisinopril, quinapril, used to treat high blood pressure and heart failure, not to be mixed with amiloride or triamterene, both also used to treat high blood pressure and heart failure because of high levels of potassium in the blood, which can be deadly. Well, now, how to stop taking medication safely? Whether you plan to stop taking a drug or just lower a dose, Consumer Reports Medical Director Orlin Avitzer, MD, advises that for your safety, you talk with your doctor about how to wean yourself. And that's because abruptly quitting drugs can often trigger serious problems. For example, stopping many antidepressants, anti-anxiety drugs, heartburn meds, and sleeping pills can worsen the symptoms the medication was meant to treat. And if you have been taking opioids such as OxyContin, Percocet, or Vicodin for more than a couple of weeks, going cold turkey can trigger withdrawal symptoms including anxiety, muscle aches, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and sleeplessness. When making a plan to stop, here are some steps to take. Come up with a clear timetable for reducing your dose. Schedule follow-up appointments to monitor your progress. Ask about temporary effects that you can expect that aren't a cause for concern, and serious ones that you should be alert to and warrant a call to your doctor. Discuss non-drug options that you can try, for example, adding 30 minutes of physical activity daily to help control blood pressure, or trying acupuncture, massage, spinal manipulation, cognitive behavior therapy, or yoga for pain. And lastly, don't become discouraged if you need to modify your plan. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to stop a drug. As it explains, you may need to slow your taper or even pause for a while. It may take some trial and error to find out what works best for you. And now, Some statistics. The Pill Nation, the rise of the drug use. The total number of prescriptions filled by all Americans, including adults and children, increased by 85% over two decades, while the total U.S. population only increased by 21%. In 1997, 2,416,064,220 prescriptions. In 2016, 4,468,929,929. That's quite a jump. 55% of Americans regularly take prescription medication, 4 on average. 75% of them also take at least one over-the-counter drug regularly. 53% of those who take prescription drugs get them from more than one health care provider, and 35% of people taking prescription drugs say health care provider has never reviewed their medicine to see if they can stop any. 10% of people who regularly take a prescription drug, some 11 million Americans, have had an adverse reaction bad enough to send them to the ER. But 73% say they're not concerned about drug side effects. 49% of people who regularly take prescription meds asked their prescribers whether they could stop taking a drug, and 71% successfully eliminated at least one drug. And 43% of people who regularly take prescription meds said their pharmacist hadn't told them about possible side effects and interactions with other medications. Well, I'd like to conclude with the introductory words to the article read in the first installment. Americans take more pills today than any other recent time in history, and far more than people in any other country. Much of that medicine is life-saving or life-improving, at least, but a lot is not. The amount of harm stemming from inappropriate prescription medications is staggering. Almost 1 in 3/10 million people went to U.S. emergency rooms due to adverse drug effects in 2014, and about 124,000 people died from those events. That's according to estimates based on data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration. Other research suggests that up to half of those events were preventable. Sobering thoughts, to be sure. Thanks for listening, and until next week, I'm Kathy Vanscoy. You've been listening to Silver Threads, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Kathy Vanscoyke. I hope you will join me again next week for more information and updates for making the best of your silver years. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.